participants an opportunity to speak during public comment periods. If you wish to speak during public comment, there is a toolbar either at the top or bottom of your screen that will appear when you hover over it with your cursor. Click on the word participants and a box will open up on your screen showing a list of participants. And at the bottom of that box, you can click on raise hand. This will be seen by the meeting facilitator and you will be unmuted at the appropriate time to ask your questions or give input. During the time you are unmuted, please make sure that you don't have any background noise such as TVs, radio, and so forth. Even the shuffling of papers can be picked up and cause disruptive audio feedback through the microphones. All of our standard procedures will be adhered to, such as stating your name and address when called on. Comments will be kept to 5 minutes or less, and vulgarity and inappropriate language will not be tolerated and will result in being immediately muted and possibly removed from the meeting. If you are unsure how to virtually raise your hand to participate in discussions, call 582-0336 at any time during the meeting, and Executive Assistant Barb Brooks will be happy to assist you with the process. Yes.
There is a change on that. Barb decided to take the day off and do some work around the house. So we'll have people call in to 582-0337, I was right the first time. 582-0337, just add one and talk to Patrick.
Very good.
I did end up getting your number right, didn't I, Patrick? 0337.
That's correct.
Thank you. I always get it confused with mine.
So if you call 582-0337 at any time during the meeting, Patrick will be happy to assist you with the process. I would like to thank everyone in advance for your patience and cooperation as we work our way through today's meeting agenda. So at this point, I would like to call the meeting to order, and let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States
of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
And remember to give your location, please, for the new requirements. Yes. So, Caroline, when you're ready.
I'm ready. Conklin.
Present from Boyne City, Michigan, USA.
Grunch.
Ron Grunch, calling from home and from Boyne City.
Needhammer.
Present, calling from home, Boyne City, Michigan, USA.
Page.
Present. Calling from home, Boyne City, USA.
Solomon.
Present, participating from home in Boyne City, USA.
Thank you, everyone.
Ron?
Yes.
Your camera is showing the ceiling again. You might want to locate it, move it, scrunch it down again. Somehow it shifted during your, so we couldn't see it. Thank you.
How's that?
Perfect, that's fine. No, sorry, true. Tom.
Yeah, that's fine. Hearing citizen comments, Patrick, is there anybody waiting?
Showing none currently, Mayor.
Thank you, Patrick. Okay, item number 4, request of city manager to go into closed session. Closed session with our attorney regarding attorney client privilege document as provided in MCL 15.268 of the Michigan Open Meetings Act. I will make that motion as stated.
Second.
We have a second by Ron. Roll call, please, Caroline.
All right. Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Mike, at this point, I'll turn it over to you. You're muted, Mike.
Thanks, Tom. At this point, Patrick will be leaving the meeting, I believe. And Patrick, if you could turn the screen share control back to me before you exit, that'd be great. I was able to do it. Never mind.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Patrick. Appreciate your help.
You're welcome.
Okay, you should see the Jim's letter of dated October 5th, 2020 back on the screen that you previously had hard copies for you before you had our last closed session. Do you have that on your screens?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, we're using that as the basis for going in and continuing the conversations that we had last time with regards to it. Jim, any comments you want to have with regards to your letter and the process?
Not really. I mean, I'll get into it when you mention the term. Or do you want me to comment on that now? I mean, that's the part of your negotiations.
Yep. Okay. All right. So if the commission's comfortable with that, I'm going to switch over to another document. And I think this is probably, as I mentioned in the communications, you should have all received this yesterday in an email from me in a packet of materials that I presented.
Mike, so, Mike, could I ask you a question first? Could you just,
sure, please, Hugh.
Could you give us a little background? You know, since the last time we met, you and Jervis Webb met with the township board, just how that went and how we've gotten to where we are now?
Hugh, you read my mind. That's just what I was going to do. Just want to make sure we had all the proper materials before I started doing that. So, since our last meeting, two main things have happened. We had a meeting where, as Hugh was mentioning, Jervis Webb, myself, the new president of the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance, Dave Emmel, one of his staff members, went to the township's board's regular October meeting. Extra meeting that they had. Anyway, we went to their township board meeting. All the members of the township board were there. And I thought that meeting went very well. I basically introduced the manager from Jervis Webb, Jeff from there, and he ran through basically the packet of information that I presented to the commission previously with a few changes, and I can send you that packet, but nothing significant. And just kind of explained the project and what they were looking to do. And the township board seemed pretty receptive to that. After he did his presentation, I spoke to the township board and I presented them the copy of the draft. And let me find it here. Ooh, I thought I had that up. Hang on. I don't have it right in front of me here. I provided them the draft 425 agreement based on the conversations that we had at this last meeting to them. And that's basically a marked up copy, very similar to the existing 425 agreement we have with them on the phase two of the business park. So we presented that information, probably spent about 45 minutes to an hour with them on that. And, didn't really get into any too much back and forth on it. They thanked us for the information and then we left. After that, And then they were going to talk amongst themselves and get back to us on it. I reached out to Sue Hobbs, the township supervisor, and asked for, you know, when they were looking to do a follow-up meeting. And that's when Tim and I went out and met with them. I think it was last Thursday. Talked some more specifics and basically heard what their comments were. And their comments are kind of summarized, hang on a sec here, on this sheet, in this middle column here on township, and then down here under other. The main points of the proposal that we submitted are in this first column here under city. So they came back, and let me tell you who was there first. So their supervisor, Sue Hobbs, was there. Their treasurer, Marie, the township board treasurer, Marie, was there. Sue's deputy, and Cindy, correct me on the name because I get this wrong. Was it Andy Coleman?
Russ Coleman.
Russ Coleman. Thank you. Thank you. He was present. The township assessor was present, and a member of their planning commission, Mike Scope, was present as well too. So am I missing anybody, Tim?
No, that's everybody, Mike.
Okay. So they were all there, and we just started talking, and they started laying out what their kind of counter proposal was. And after there was some discussion, I basically tried to get them to hone in on, okay, what are the key points? What are you looking for? And they seemed to be generally okay with a 425 agreement. They wanted a shorter term of 25 years. They asked for specifically, asked for a 4 mils in contrast to our 2 mils that we were providing. They wanted the property at the end of the term of the 425 to remain in the township. And they were basically looking to have, you know, like the township planning commission and things of that nature govern the process. They also raised, I think one of their overarching concerns was, okay, well, the city's done the previous business park expansion. They got the 425 on that. Here the city's asking for another one. Where is this ever gonna end? We don't wanna just be giving up property to the city and getting a smaller and smaller township overall. They thought that would not reflect well on them. They wanted to make sure that there was a formal driveway easement for the adjoining house it's not on the property that we're talking about, but it has an existing driveway through it. On the surveys that we've gotten, it showed an easement, but apparently the township says, you know, they see it on the map, but they weren't able to find language that governed, that basically called out the easement, and they wanted to make sure that was provided for. And we didn't have any problem. I didn't have any problem with that at all. I thought that was fine. They also talked a lot about, we'd like to extend water and sewer to other parts of the township. And, you know, they're talking about other neighboring properties to this, and they're going to say, well, geez, you're putting water there. Why don't you put water here? And I, you know, expressed to them my concern about, you know, that's our utility. We've invested a lot into it. We have other properties in the city to develop. And if we just start giving away the water and sewer to anywhere in the township, there's no reason with their lower millage rates for people to, you know, buy property in the city of Boyne City. I told them that we could, you know, I reminded them that when we did the expansion specifically of the wastewater treatment plant, about 15 years ago. Prior to that, the city reached out to the neighboring townships and asked them if they wanted to participate in that study and consider, you know, sizing the plant accordingly. none of the neighboring townships were interested in pursuing that. So the plant as it is built now basically is sized to accommodate the full build out of Boyne City and what Boyne Mountain identified to us as their 20-year build out plan for them, or at least what they needed for the next 20 years. They may have initial needs somewhere in the future, but it showed what they needed for the coming 20 years. And that's what the plant was sized for. And, you know, if they talked about Boyne Valley Township needing a sewer system out there and a better water system. And my comment to them was, you know, kind of like what we did with Somerset Point, you know, we were very careful with regards to what businesses we allowed at Somerset Point when we extended the sewer out there, so they weren't going to be competing against our businesses here in town. Because my first priority has to be the city, its taxpayers, and its businesses first off. So we left that door open, saying, you know, there, you know, if there is some type of a study going forward, you know, there might be a possibility of a study going forward for looking at some type of expanded water and sewer. I would still, you know, recommend to the city commission, and if we did some type of expanded or looked at an expanded system, that we would still need to do 425s. If we start giving away our utilities, that puts us at a competitive disadvantage, or start letting those go without a 425 or something to it. And they also mentioned previously, except I don't think it came up at the most recent meeting, but they did mention previously that they didn't have any input with regards to tax abatements, and that they would like that. And I don't see any reason why they couldn't be provided notice, you know, whether it's for tax abatements or planning commission reviews or things of that nature, that they, you know, could get an invitation to those meetings and, you know, be given the opportunity to comment or share what their thoughts or views are before making any decision by the city. This would be a good point for Tim to jump in case he has any different assessments or observations, because I was busy talking and Tim was there kind of, you know, keeping an eye on me and keeping an eye on what was going on in the room too. So Tim, any other insights you saw from that meeting?
Sure. First off, you know, I think Mike did an excellent job representing the city's interests at that meeting, despite, I think, trying to be thrown a bit of a curveball by their assessor right out of the gate, where they weren't really interested in hearing the justification of what the city's position was. They really just kind of wanted to get to the details. So that was handled really well. You know, I think that the term and financial, you know, stuff was pretty straightforward, but they did appear to be a little bit mixed on future utility servicing. Well, they wanted utility servicing for more dense residential developments in the township. They didn't appear to want utility servicing for any other industrial kind of development. But beyond that, I think Mike covered all the points that were discussed very well.
And Tim's reference to the assessor is maybe a point I should stress a little bit more. As I mentioned, their assessor was there. He is not a member of their board. He's basically paid staff. But from my perspective, and Tim can, you know, provide his insights, he was really leading a lot of the discussion and was really pretty forceful in his opinions. I mean, he was an opinion maker, you know, kind of like I am, or you know, really stressing his views directly to me without going through the board. So I'm sure they must have had some previous conversations or things of that nature. But he's a contract assessor out of Sheboygan. I'm going to talk to the city manager, Joe Heffel up in Sheboygan, and kind of get his insights as to, you know, what he can tell me about this gentleman. Apparently he's worked for Petoskey and other communities as well too. So I'm trying to get some feedback on him. He was probably the... he and the deputy supervisor were probably the two most aggressive, Kevin and Russ, Kevin being the assessor and Russ being the deputy supervisor. And both of those are hired positions, not elected or appointed. They took the hardline positions. And that doesn't surprise me too much with Russ. Russ was involved in the ambulance discussions as well too. And I think that's just his nature. Sometimes you can talk him down from that stuff. If you give him facts, he'll seem to consider them, but he's kind of pretty strong right out the gate. So,
Mike, was there any comment from any at those at the meeting about the advantage of, or the positive things about having this company expand in the area?
They seem very supportive of the company overall. I think they liked, there were no real objections to the plan that I heard or the presentation. They seem to be pretty welcoming to them under the right terms and conditions. They tried to flip this argument on us, basically saying, you know, they're trying to present it that they're holding all the cards, that if they say no, the city can't do anything, which there is truth to that. You know, we can't force this issue. And so, you know, it's basically, you know, and this was kind of coming from Russ, is, will you take our position, and from Kevin too, you take our position, or you can just sit on that property forever and nothing will happen on it. And it's only going to cost them, you know, a couple hundred bucks a year, and they really don't care. And, you know, you have to do what we say or else, was kind of, you know, at least initially that was part of some of the tone of their conversation to us. Tim, do you concur?
Absolutely.
So, and I tried to talk him down from that ledge. And as Tim mentioned before, at an earlier meeting I had with Sue and Lynn, when I first introduced this to them before I met with you folks previously, one of Sue's big concerns was, you know, just the whole financial arrangements about the situation. You know, and Sue was saying, well, they didn't think it was as advantageous for them as they thought it should be, and things of that nature. And I shared with them, hang on a sec here, let me get to that sheet. Sorry, I've got too many screens open here. I shared with them, I passed out the sheet that's up on your screen right now. And this talks about the financial implications for the phase two business park and what that's brought to them. And basically, our business park, the phase two of the business park, is less than a 0.5% of the township's acreage. But it provides, hang on, I've got it in here. Let me just find it. It provides 1.25% of the overall tax base for the township. So they've come out, compared to their other properties, the summary of what this sheet is that they've come out pretty well compared to what it was before the city bought it, compared to other neighboring properties in there. They've tried to make the argument, and Russ did during the meeting, was, well, we could have built a bunch of houses there. And I said, well, you look up and down this road, M75, and there haven't been a bunch of houses that have been built here. You know, that's, you know, you can say what you want to say that this could have been, but there's nothing to show it. And the $2.5 million of property value that we've brought with the business park and are sharing with them the two mills on is a great financial benefit for them. Their response to them is, it's not about the money. It's not about the money. You know, they don't want to sell their soul for a couple gold coins. And I'm paraphrasing there and kind of.
Is it a fair statement to say that they can be a little bit arrogant and standoffish because they have the tax revenue from Boyne Mountain and Blue Green? They don't really care about the money.
Well, they do have, those are their financial, their biggest taxpayers there as well too. And I brought that point to them at the towards the end of the meeting to remind them that, you know, because of the because the city, you know, back in the late 90s and early 2000s made the arrangements to share, to extend our sewer service to provide it to Boyne Mountain out there, it has really helped them do the growth that that Boyne Mountain has, which has provided them, you know, significant. It's been a real boon to Boyne Valley Township because Boyne City and Boyne Mountain worked out the sewer arrangements with Boyne Mountain. And I tried to just say, hey, we're benefiting you. We've worked well together. You know, some of the same arguments I was trying to make with the EMS stuff when they were kind of going off the ledge on that one and trying to reel them back in, saying, hey, you know, we get a lot more done by working together on this stuff. And because we've extended our sewer out there without a 425 on that one, because that was an economic engine that Boyne Mountain's an economic engine that benefits the whole region. You know, Boyne Valley Township is benefiting greatly because of that. So they would have, Boyne Mountain would have been hard pressed and had to really focus on a lot of other things if they had to run their own wastewater treatment plant like they used to do. So. Any questions with regards to the tone of the meeting or the backup or Tim, anything that you think I'm overlooking or missing?
No.
Anything from the commissioners?
I'm just wondering if the main problem in dealing with them now is a power thing or, you know, or a money thing.
Well, I mean, they know the cards that they're holding with regards to that if they don't approve something with us, that this plant can't happen.
Yeah, I guess my perception would be, on the other hand, you know, realistically, they can't walk away from this. We can't walk away from this. I mean, the impact of that would be, you know, imagine the headlines, you know, for either the city or the townships, that they can bluster about having all the cards, but in realistically, they're not going to let this pass. Neither are we. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's a perception that may be out there. I think that's a case we can push. As I mentioned during our last closed session, you know, and I'm going to get into this a little bit more in just a second here. You know, and I think the proposal that I'm going to ultimately lay out to you, you know, should address their biggest concerns. But if push came to shove, I don't know if I would. I might still make a recommendation that we walk away from it. And I know all the political ramifications and things of that nature with regards to it. But you folks all know that I try and take a long-term perspective for it. And well, I'll just go into my next part right now is the dean on 425s in our area. And I've mentioned this to many of you commissioners before is Joe Duff in the city of Gaylord and what they've done out there. And I talked to Joe at length about this yesterday as well too, before, you know, finalizing my recommendations and meeting with you today. I mean, they have done very well with regards to getting 425s, and they have townships that are willing to work with them. I mean, the Myers out there, everything between the Myers and I-75 is basically on a 425 agreement out there. A 425 agreement or an intergovernmental agreement that ends up with the property being annexed into Gaylord. And they have about probably 10 or 12 separate 425 or agreements where they've done that expansion with a number of the townships around them. And he and I are on the same wavelength with regards to if we start extending water and sewer outside the city without some type of a 425 agreement that we can come up with, we're cutting our own throats long term. and we might get a short-term gaming on it. We might be able to keep a Jervis Web business. But from my perspective, the long-term implications to that is would be dire to the city. There would be no incentive for people to buy property in the city if they know they could get utilities outside the city. And as Jim has told me before, and it's kind of complicated by some of our previous actions as a city, we have to be consistent in what we do with regards to who we give water and sewer to outside our boundaries. And if we don't, there might be some type of claims against the city for not, for discriminating against people that we're doing it for some people or not for others. So any recommendation I give you, I try and make sure that there's some type of justifiable framework or at least something we could argue in court if we had to that said, here's why we granted utilities here and why we turned them down elsewhere. So that's a whole different level of a discussion. It's something I want to make sure you're aware of. But Dean, I can't say that at the end of the day that I wouldn't come back with a recommendation that says, if we don't come up with the right type of deal, that you have to let Jervis Web go.
Well, I'll be honest with you. That would be very, for me anyhow, that would be very, very difficult to accept.
And it'd be terrible for me to do too, but.
We're saying to our residents, we're going to throw away the opportunity for 100 jobs and that over a disagreement with a township. That would be, as a resident, I think I'd have a hard time understanding why the city and the township couldn't figure it out.
Well, and that's where you have to be prepared to, hopefully we can avoid that. And the recommendation, and I don't want to spend too much time on that other than I think it's important background discussion that we have and start Mike, thinking that thing through.
That was a question I had in my review is where are we with the Jervis Web purchase agreement? Because what would really not be a good idea is to go down this road and have Jervis Web pick another site anyway.
No, that's a good point. It kind of goes back to Hugh's question earlier. After Tim and I went out and met with Boyne Valley Township, I talked to the folks from Jervis Web, and I see the outlines for a deal here, and I told them that. I didn't get anywhere near into any specifics with them. Everything they're telling me is they're not, they're a bit nervous about this, but they're not looking for other sites at this point.
Well, at least currently that's what they're telling me. They can walk away from any deal. I mean, we don't have them contractually bound to purchase if we do it 425.
I guess I'm trying to follow your point, Jim.
Well, it is conceivable, is it not? We could proceed with a 425, but they don't buy the property. They're not contractually bound to purchase. They have exit clauses.
Yes. I see no signs that they're going to go down that path.
Well, with real estate, it has to be in writing.
Yeah, I understand.
And so I just want to point out to the commissioners and you that if they're not contractually bound, you could go down this road, negotiate a 425, and they don't buy it anyway.
Yeah, I think you're kind of jumping a couple steps ahead in that before we would execute either agreement, that we'd have the pieces lined up so that both pieces would, that we'd have high certainty that both pieces would come to conclusion. Yeah,
well,
want to do a 425 until we have until we know for sure that we're going to have this deal with Jervis Web.
Well, and the hybrid approach is oftentimes you have the purchaser waive their contingencies. No one's going to buy property without kicking the can and inspecting the property. They'll probably need a phase one, whatever they need to do, review a title commitment and do all their due diligence. But they could be doing that now and then waive those so that there are no contingencies other than the providing of water and sewer per a 425. I mean, that concept is out there.
Yeah,
rather
and that
than having them inspect it and do all their due diligence after the fact and then find out there's a title defect they're not comfortable with, or an environmental problem, or zoning, or something like that.
With that being said, they have made a commitment with soil studies and soil borings, have they not, Mike?
Oh yeah, they've done a lot of their due diligence. They've done their phase ones and all that type of stuff. So a lot of their due diligence and stuff. So.
Well, Mike,
yeah, I don't have any nervousness, and you're right, Jim. I mean, you know, until you have it in writing and all that type of stuff, that, you know, anybody could walk away from anything.
Particularly real estate.
What's that?
I said particularly real estate.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, I think that we agree with you. I think we stated this before in meetings that no, we don't want to sell our soul and we don't want to give water and sewer away. But I totally agree with Dean that I think the direction we gave you, that this is the deal that we need to make happen, PR-wise, city goal-wise, business-wise, the whole project. And that I agree with Dean 100%. This deal has to go through. So I think, with that being said, you can make this happen without giving away water and sewer. I have confidence that that's going to happen. Now, I would think that Boyne Valley Township's a little harder to deal with than what Joe Duff's doing over in Gaylord. He must have some townships that are cooperative, and this may be a hard sell to Boyne Valley Township, but it has to get done. Plain and simple, as Dean said, this has to get done.
Well, if you look at the sheet that I put back up on the screen, and you look at what the township proposed, they're willing to do a 425 on those terms. You know, 4 mills, 25 years, a 425 agreement. You know, the township ends up with the property. I'm not comfortable with that. I think that's a loser for the city long term, and that's why I'm coming to you with an alternate recommendation. And why don't we get into that right now so we can kind of go down that path and see where it goes. So my recommendation to the commission would be that we do insist on a 425 agreement, that we insist on 50 years, and that 50 years would be the initial term, and that would have an auto renewal term, which is allowed under the state statute for follow-up 50-year terms, unless both parties agreed to terminate it earlier.
Hey, Mike, can I comment on that? I think you're right. I've not actually done one with an automatic renewal. The statute does permit that. You're correct.
Gaylord does do that. Done that.
And I just want to, I'm not saying it doesn't. I read the statute this morning, and the question I just had is, does council in 50 years from now have to renew it, or can they only collectively reject it?
I think if we give them the option of where it gives the parties the ability to get out, that hopefully would meet it. But obviously you'll have to take a look at your review.
Well, yeah, the statute unfortunately is very, you know, short in that regard, but I just don't want the commissioners to think it's, you know, absolutely clear on the renewal. But it doesn't look like we're there yet anyway. If they're at 25 and we're at 50 plus another 50, so we're at 100.
No. I'm 50 plus 50 plus 50 plus 50 in perpetuity.
I don't think the statute allows, the law hates the word perpetuity, Mike. It's used in some instances, but I think, and I unfortunately with my laptop, I have to call in Zoom, but then I have to get out of my computer. So I had the statute on my computer, but I would like to reserve looking at that issue. I think it might be one.
No, it isn't.
Second 50.
It isn't. I looked at that language myself.
Well, let's analyze that later again. I mean, I get what you're asking, but.
Well, that's part of the proposal I'm looking to make to the township, Jim. So.
Well, it struck me, and again, that's a cursory review, that it was a one 50, but I may be wrong.
Yeah, that's not the conclusion the city of Gaylord has come up with in their agreements. And that's not the, I don't see anything in the statute that limits it, because I looked specifically at the language that dealt with the renewals.
It's just it's just one sentence, and it, you're right. Yep. It doesn't say not more than one, but it says may renew, you know, like 50 years. I guess the common sense question I would have is, why would you continue 50, 50, 50? At some point, it's either in the city or it's in the township, and you're done.
Because I'm getting to that point. Because by doing that in perpetuity, it avoids the sticky issue that they're going to hold firm on, or which is the end status of the property. Because they're going to want it as they do. They want it to go to return back to the township, where I think we want it to come back into the city. And by having it on the auto renewal, it just stays that way forever. The main problem with it going to the township at the end is, one, we only get a short-term benefit from it, even though our infrastructure is there forever. And so I'm looking to equal the playing field. So let me continue to go through this, and then you can pick it apart. So the 50-year auto renewal, and I'm looking for multiple auto renewal periods, 4 mills, agree to the township's request for that, which is more than, they levy about just under 3 mills right now. So that's a bonus to them. And by going to the 50 years and giving them additional millage, that's a better financial return for them than their 25 years and 4 mills that they proposed. Because they would basically drop a mill at the 25th year under their proposal, where they would have additional millage going forward forever. The end of the status, I'm saying that should be in the city, but I think the way we can make that argument is with the auto renewal provision out there. And the government control, I think it should be in the city as well too, so. And just going down these follow-up items, I think kind of the recommendation I have for them as well too. I think that addresses their major concerns, because technically it wouldn't be coming with the auto renewal provision. It never officially becomes in the city. We continue to get the long-term financial benefit of it. They get the long-term financial benefit of it. You know, at least 100 years under Jim's worst case scenario there. And who knows what the world's going to look like 100 years from now. And that's a basis we can build on for future agreements going forward if we had to. Tom, I think one of the things that you, with regards to your comment about Gaylord, two things. They may have townships that are easier to work with than with Boyne Valley Township, and for a variety of reasons. But I think the thing that's really helped Gaylord with regards to this has been consistency in their position overall. That if they want to get the benefit, if they want to get the additional businesses there, that the city has basically said, here's what the terms of the arrangements are. And our problem is that we've been all over the board over the years as to what we've done, and we haven't been consistent about it. I've tried to make it a little bit more consistent these last, you know, 10 years or so, but prior to that, we did enter into 425 agreements. We didn't enter into 425 agreements. We've done all sorts of things. So I don't think that's helped us.
Mike, I think the sticky issue is your third point about the extending the water and sewer. The township's going to have to help in that regard, because they can, for example, if we only have this 425 agreement, well, that's the only place we're authorized to provide water and sewer. On the other hand, if they limit the scope and limit our ability to provide water and sewer, then it's not us depriving equal protection, because I always call this a slippery slope.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what they mean by that, but when we say extending water and sewer to other parts of the township, that's been a constant nagging issue with the township.
I wanted to identify that topic because it was a topic that came up several times at the meeting that Tim and I were at. And I basically wanted to show this board our commission that it was a topic that they raised. I think it's one that we can have some further discussions with the township about. I don't see that as part of any type of an agreement on this 425. I think I would try and keep that a separate discussion for a different time and a whole different study. I mean, and that's what I told them at that meeting as well too is, I think that's something we can look at. And that's when we get into the nitty gritty of 425s or what areas are they talking about? And, what are the costs that each party would have to pay and all that type of stuff.
So they're not making that a condition precedent to entering into a 425?
They have not yet, no.
That surprises me.
Tim, what's your read?
Well, that's their strong leverage right there, is knowing that we want the 425 and therefore this is how they get extra water and sewer for their other residents.
Yeah. Tim, what was your thought on that conversation?
Yeah, I understood it that this would be a separate process, some kind of utility evaluation of maybe portions of the township.
Yeah, if they show us a development such as Advance or Young State Park or Boyne Mountain, and they show us, therefore, the developer is ready and willing, then that's, I agree with you. We negotiate that at that time at 1.5 and at totally their cost, but it's not related to the 425.
Yeah.
But if they just need to hear...
I wouldn't agree with the terms of the deal that you just laid out, Tom. That's giving it away again. That 1.5 with regards to utility benefit to us is that is not a reason to do an extension of utilities. That is a loser for us every day of the week. So,
okay, fair enough. But my point is, I agree with you. That's a different discussion at a different time when they have a developer that shows the need and wants to come and negotiate with us.
All right, I'd be fine having that discussion with the township as they're working on their master plan and saying, hey, here's an area that we'd like to look at in the future for water and sewer. What can we do with working with the city on that? They might not have a developer lined up or anything of that nature. I'd have no problem getting into recommending that we get into discussions and then iron these points out. But I will do everything in my power to keep that as a separate discussion or a separate term from this deal that we're working on.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I'm not going to recommend what you think is their strong point there, Jim.
Okay.
I'm not going to recommend it to them. So that's a path I'm thinking that we should go with. That'd be the counter proposal I'd present to them. And I want to get the commission's feedback on this.
And Mike, the statute requires all these public hearings at some point in time. Is the goal to have them unofficially and the city unofficially kind of come to terms so that when you present the 425 at the public hearing, one side's not going to change their mind?
Yes.
I was curious, Mike, what the difference is between 50-year plus auto renewal and 25-year plus auto renewal.
It asks for more millage.
mean, that could be something we could look at, Dean. It's, you know, if Jim's concerns are right, that means the day of reckoning is sooner and we have to deal with it more frequently. I mean, that could be a compromise if Jim is comfortable with, geez, you know, you could do this forever.
Well, the statute, yeah, it won't take that long to kind of get my arms around that. But the statute's kind of pretty simple. It says your 425 cannot exceed 50 years, but then has automatic renewal. And then it says, you know, and I can't remember because I don't have the statute right in front of me, about both sides' counsels changing their mind. I don't know if I'm concluding that means you're stuck at 100 years or if you can continue to go.
Yeah.
If it's an automatic 50 years.
So getting back to your comment, Dean, I'd much rather have 100 years than 50 years overall, if that was the maximum term we could have.
Right. I was thinking of the negotiating, you know, tool. The township talked about 25 and we're returning to 50. Just a thought.
My recommend by giving them the 4 mills, by saying yes to that, and then we can demonstrate that both come out financially ahead on that, and that, you know, and by coming up with this auto renewal provision, hopefully Jim will agree with my position on that. We don't really have to deal with the sticky situation of the end status of the property.
And maybe a compromise is 35 years plus auto.
I mean, if you have the auto renewal in there, I mean, and if the auto renewal is automatic and there isn't any
like veto power.
Yeah, if there isn't any problem with it continuing in perpetuity, you know, you could go 5 years. I think it's just easier if you can do it longer and not have to be messing with it.
Yeah. The other question I had was, you know, brought up the point about abatements. Does abatements affect the 4 mills?
Yes. Because what it does is it lowers the amount of increase in the taxable value that's being considered. So for, you know, used to be, and the assessors can describe this better than I can, you know, when somebody built a factory and they put all the equipment in it, which is considered personal property, the factories would come in and say, hey, we want a tax break of 50% on that personal property for 12 years. So we'd get half the increased value of it. And the township's position has been, well, you're making these decisions, you're lowering the overall taxable value. So we're not getting as much money as if there was no abatement in the first place. And that's a true statement. And that's why I think that, yeah, they should have a seat at the table like any of the other taxing jurisdictions do too. I don't have a problem with that at all. But the risk you run if you don't give the abatements, it's an unfortunate system, but you know, you have the factory saying, well, if you don't give me the abatement, I'm just going to take this piece of equipment or my plant and go elsewhere or someplace else that'll give me the abatement. And that's the unfortunate position that communities have been put in under the state's tax policy.
But doesn't that undercut your argument about being a financial advantage to the township with the four mills? Because I think they would think, well, yeah, but you're just going to grant an abatement, so we're not really better off.
Oh, no, they're much better off because the taxable value wouldn't be there in the first place. It's all increased taxable value. And they don't lose, it's just the amount of the increase is lower than what it might have been otherwise.
But Mike, I think, isn't Dean right? If the city gives an abatement, they're not going to mathematically get the same dollar amount as if they got 4 mills.
No, they'll get 4 mills, but they'll get 4 mills on a lower taxable value.
Correct.
But it's an increased taxable value versus they don't do the thing in the first place. So they're always getting their four mils. It's on what the taxable value is in the first place.
And does that abatement usually have a 12-year, 10-year, 12-year, 15-year?
12 is the max.
Okay, so after 12 years, they're back to full value of on the four mils.
They're, yes. Yes.
Okay.
And point they're always getting the four mils, but the taxable value varies.
Point of clarification, when they say, you know, they're unhappy about the no input on the tax abatements and your response, I think all you're saying is, like anybody else, they're going to get notice and an opportunity to be heard.
Correct.
But not, I'm not aware of any statutory veto power they would have.
Correct.
You know, the same thing is in our tax, in the General Property Tax Act. For example, Boyne City, when you have a tax appeal, the statute makes the city defend it, but a lot of that money goes to the county, to the schools, and elsewhere. And I've had it where, you know, they're unhappy that you settle a tax appeal when it's partly their money. Well, I'm sorry, but that's the statutory scheme. That's how it works. And same thing here. If you're the taxing authority and you want to give an abatement, you can. Even though it impacts their portion of what they would get in back in their four mils.
Yep.
And I don't think there's a good answer to that. That just, it is what it is. You can't say we're the taxing authority, but then they get to veto it.
Yeah. We had a similar discussion when we were at the township meeting, when Tim and I were there, with regards to tax abatements and things in that nature. Again, it's not a tax, it's not really a tax cut. It's just a possible reduction of the amount of the increase that they're going to be getting over a period of time. So, and, you know, this isn't only affecting the township. It's a, you know, those affect, you know, the biggest effect is going to be on the city, and the county has a role in this as well too. The schools have a role. I mean, it affects every taxing jurisdiction that's covered by that 425 agreement. Other questions, comments, concerns, other ideas?
Do you have more to present or?
No. I mean, there's more materials there, but that was, you know, it was kind of just some background materials on it. If there's anything you want me to, you know, explain or anything of that nature, fine. Just some of the pieces that I was using on this puzzle. So unless the commission has some objections or something, I guess I would like to, you know, draft up what my recommended proposal is, present that to the township prior to their meeting on Monday, and continue the discussions. And I could see this going back a few more iterations with regards to it. My discussions with Jervis Webb, I told him, you know, I'd hope that we'd have an agreement and have everything ready to start moving forward, you know, by sometime in December. And they, you know, seemed to think that was viable.
Who are they gonna use as their legal counsel? Their local guy, or go down to Bill Fahey?
I'm assuming they're going to talk to Fahey. They didn't tip that hand to us.
Wouldn't shock me if he wants to blow it up. I mean, that's kind of what he does.
When you say blow it up,
create more problems so that it tips the scale to the township's advantage of whatever they can get.
Yeah.
That's why it'd be nice to get to know whether they've run it by him. Before you agree to four, I'd like to hear all their concerns, because right now we have the concerns in your outline because that's what they've told you. But when they give it to Fahey and he comes up with four new ones, it's hard to back off the ones we've already acquiesced on. But I don't know how to manage that, Mike, because you can't make them give it to Fahey. You can't make them go to their lawyer yet, but it would be, I think, a reasonable question of them. Is this your final laundry list of issues? Nothing's worse than getting a piecemeal attack.
Well, and that was a question I specifically asked them, you know, at their meeting. Now, kind of like you mentioned before, Jim, up until the deal is done and you have a signed agreement, either party could change anything anywhere along the way.
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't know how you get around that issue. You're giving me a problem without a solution.
Well, that's true, just Mike, and with everything. But surprisingly, most parties in a sophisticated negotiation don't whipsaw you like that and say that these are the exhaustive lists and then come back at you. But you are correct; they can. But I do find even people that are difficult to work with, they generally honor that code.
With that being said, it's to our advantage to have some sense of urgency and to present Monday night and just, you know, to keep the pressure on them on a pretty expedited timeline.
Well, yeah, and Mike, I think we can couch it that these are their exhaustive lists. You know, make them look like they've backed out on that if they come up with a fourth and a fifth and a sixth.
You know, there is the potential that they could do that. I mean, as I negotiated with the township on the EMS agreement, I mean, it was a continually moving target. I mean, Cindy saw that process. Ron saw some of that process. We're dealing with who we're dealing with, and I don't know a way to, you know, I can't change their behavior or you know, tell them, you know, or force them to put everything on the table at this point. If they add something else, we'll have to react to it. But I would submit this as a package deal, But again, once they see that, you know, we're willing to do the four, but I could say, yeah, we're willing to do the four with regards to the, you know, here's the other pieces of the puzzle that we're putting together. And if you give us other pieces, that we may come back with a different offer.
I guess that was my point about expediency is that we show up with, okay, here's your list. We answered it. And, you know, Jarvis Webb is at that meeting and it's all about transparency. I mean, that was kind of the advice we gave you before that let's be above the board and transparent and public. And that kind of forces their hand maybe. I don't know.
Well, if there was any disappointment that I have is, you know, Jarvis Webb says they'll help whichever way they can, but I can definitely see that they don't want to get in the middle of a mudslinging match between us and Boyne Valley Township. They would much rather stay away from that. And I guess we'll just have to see how, you know, what, if any, pressure that they can help us put on Boyne Valley Township. And same with the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance as well, too.
Who does Mr. Fraley represent, Jarvis Webb or the township?
Who's that, Hugh?
You were talking about an attorney, Fraley?
Oh, his name is Bill Fahey. He represents townships throughout the state.
Mike, you referred to 4 points that they had. What I see a lot more than four. What did you mean by that?
I guess I don't remember when I said that, Hugh.
Well, one question I had was under other, it says doesn't want continued encroachment into township. So what ramifications does that have for expanding the business park?
They may not want to do it at any point in the future.
Do we have other options for expansion?
No, not really. I mean, because it's surrounded by townships, there really isn't any other good property in the city for expansion of a business park. I mean, there is some some property, and I'd have to get the zoning map out. I believe over there by Van Dam's, just a little bit north of them, a little bit south of them, where there's some miscellaneous industrial stuff that's going on. But that most of that property is already used. So
well, let me give you my angle on this. As I said before, they got to do this, we got to do this. And the bluster back and forth, you know, in the end, we got to do a deal. You know, I don't think that we want Driver's Web to walk away. I think it's fair enough to say, for us to say, listen, we really didn't expect this right away. Bought that property, as you had indicated in some of your notes, that, yeah, you know, down the future someplace, you know, in the future, you know, maybe something will happen there, maybe not. But now we got this. It's presenting. There's a time element to it. There is a risk that if the city and the township are slinging mud for long enough, that Jervis Webb will walk away. They haven't indicated that now, but that's at risk, right? Even though it's not stated. And so there's a reason for us to be expedient. But that in mind, it certainly makes sense then, given this is the situation we have today, it makes most sense to model something sort of like what we've done before, which is a 425. You know, maybe slightly different terms, but sort of the same. Having said that, though, it is fair enough for the township to have said, yeah, but what about the future? Are we just going to keep doing this? Yep. And to make a firm commitment to that corridor. I think we're really talking about the M75 corridor from Boyne Falls to Boyne City and the future of that. That we make a firm commitment to really, you know, engage instead of doing this always reactively. It's fair enough to talk about that and the city's role with infrastructure and ways to address our concerns and the township's concerns. That might be a way of being able to move it forward, that we can't keep going back and forth on this and quibbling about terms on one parcel without more risk than we want to take or taking positions that we won't defend.
Yeah, I agree, Dean. And I think we should have those conversations with them. And that also kind of came up at the last meeting we had with them was our previous efforts to engage them and Wilson Township on the corridor study along M75 to try and figure out, okay, how do we make a plan that works for everybody? And at the end, that ended up talking more about, you know, driveway access and things of that nature. I think we can do something a much larger venue that also a much larger scope that also includes, you know, frank discussions about utilities. I think that I agree with you. That would be a better way to approach this than rather than this reactive stuff.
Can we put that in writing as part of this, our commitment to expand on what was started with the corridor study to address the concerns, future concerns that were pointed out by the township. But getting this deal done so we can move ahead because it's presenting.
Yeah, I'd rather, kind of like we talked about before, keep that discussion as separate from this as possible, but then, you know, give them a firm commitment to, hey, let's meet on it and have some further discussion about how we can move that forward, you know, after we get this done. Yeah, let's say that. Yeah, let's sit down and have that discussion right away.
And I think the important part is acknowledgement, you know, that the township has their concerns are valid about that corridor and their future role in that. I think acknowledging a concern is important, even if it's something that we're not addressing within the scope of this specific agreement.
And I tried to state that at the meeting that we had with them, that, you know, I can understand where they're coming from with regards to they don't want continued encroachment on the township and they, you know, that they're sensitive to that. Yeah. I tried to validate that and say, yeah, if I was in your shoes, I know exactly where you're coming from. So, Hugh, I'm still trying to think of what those four points were that I was talking about.
They're probably, Mike, they're probably the ones right in your outline.
I think it is.
The encroachment. Well,
there's more than four things on there. If I created some confusion or misspoke, I mean, these are the main these are the big topics that I tried to get out there. Sally, you have anything further? Any thoughts?
Well, I mean, the trickiest part that I can imagine is dealing with an entity that feels like they're losing power. So, but I mean, you have to go forward. The worst that happens is the deal doesn't go through, right?
Well, yeah, and that gets back to Dean's point, where she says that's an unviable option. So,
yeah, I mean, I can see that, but by the same token, you can't give away the farm.
Yeah. Again, looking on this sheet here, you know, if worse came to worse, you know, I could come back and say, yeah, the township's not going to move on any of this stuff that I'm recommending, and they still want this. You know, that's the frame. That's the terms of a worst case scenario deal that we could look at to get Jervis Webb. So.
So then the question is that the one we go for if we have to?
Well, that might be, you know, that would be the ultimate fallback position as to, okay, and then we'd have to make the decision on that. And, you know, hearing some of the discussions, I can start to sense where I think some of the votes might come. I'm not asking you for that at this point. And you probably know where my recommendation might come, but you know, and I'll make my recommendations up until the point you make a decision. So
Mike, so how do you see this progressing? So you have a meeting Monday, and then how do you see it playing out?
I don't know if they're going to want to digest this and get back to us. You know, it's going to be just kind of, you know, hopscotching back and forth. I mean, if the commission's kind of okay with the general framework that I'm outlining here, I'll, you know, negotiate the best I can and then bring back where I think we're at. You know, there may be a need for another meeting like this, but you know, hopefully I won't have to meet with you every time that I talk to them.
Well, and Hugh, maybe as a refresher, Mike, I'll kind of go through the statute. There has to be, and this is for both the township and the city, there has to be a public hearing, a resolution by both. Why do I have down?
Elaine, call Andrea. She's trying to call.
See, at least.
Just give her a call.
Why am I drawing a blank, Mike? My notes are mixed up. I can't remember if this one has to go to be put on the ballot. I don't think it does.
I think there is an opportunity under some of the scenarios where there can be like a 45-day referendum period.
Yeah, there is a okay, my notes are kind of sketchy, but yeah, there is plenty of public opportunity to weigh in on this for both sides, and a unique referendum within Act 425. It's shorter, you know, I think it doesn't last forever, but it can blow up. In other words, it's not 100% in the hands of the commission and of the township's trustees. If people want to file a proper petition for referendum, then there's a problem coming. I can't imagine that happening here, but you never know.
Yeah, there's some abutting property owners that might not like this and might want to try and file a petition.
So Jim, with your concern about a purchase agreement with Jervis Webb, at what point would we have that as we move along in the process?
Sooner than later.
Would it be wise to have that before we get into public hearings and all that sort of stuff?
It's kind of a question about how much you're going to spend in time and energy. If you're okay with them, the risking of them backing out, but you don't have so much into it, you know, then you're going to be unhappy, but you're not going to be, miserable.
Just for the commission's information, we have probably 90% of a purchase agreement that has been drafted. It's been drafted up. Jim drafted it up. It's been reviewed by Jervis Webb. They have some items they want to talk about on it. But again, so I think we're well down that path. I don't see that as a major issue. But again, right now it's where do we focus our energies, and the focus on the energies right now has been to, you know, with the township on getting, making more progress on this. We can play catch up on the 425 later. I mean, on the purchase agreement later, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I hadn't heard of it before our meeting. I was just asking Jim why he brought that up or where it fits into it.
Yeah. Well, just so you're aware, what risks there are. I don't think there's a risk, Hugh, that's any different than any other deal. But if you asked me, is it ironclad that they have a duty and a contractual duty to purchase if this goes through? I would simply have to say, no, they don't.
Well, again, unless something really changes or goes south on this, I don't see that as a viable option. So for them, they are so heavily invested into this property, they want to make it work, and they will do everything they can to it.
Yeah, and they approach.
I know what Jim's saying. You know, there's no guarantees, but one of the things I'm proud of is, with most of the developers that I've dealt with, and Glenn Catt's been a good example of this. You know, we've done a lot of these deals initially on handshakes and word of mouth with each other, and they've carried through with it. And so far, everything that I'm getting from Jervis Webb and Jeff and his team there is that, you know, they're like dealing with Glenn Catt. If they say they're going to do something, they're going to do something. So.
Mike, on page B of your that you sent us, are these the points you made at the meeting, or I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, let me get it up for you here. These were kind of talking points that I prepared myself with in advance of the meeting that I had available to roll out, and depending on how the conversation went, I rolled some of these out and other ones I didn't. I try and make little bullet points in advance of the meetings and things of that nature. So I know, okay, if it's appropriate, you can bring up this or not that or something of that nature.
Thanks. Well, one of the things, and I brought this up when we first met, was just the whole idea of negotiating and looking at, you know, well, we've talked about tossing mud and, you know, ripping into each other and that type of stuff. I just wonder, you know, again, about Mike and the negotiations with the ambulance and hard feelings and, you know, here we are again. And, you know, is it better if somebody else, you've kind of outlined now what it is we want in order to negotiate something. Can somebody else, you know, Tim or whoever, go and present that and not have this personal thing that I think it's very real between Boyne City and Boyne Valley Township.
Tim, I'll let you address that first. Your thoughts based on what you saw at the last meeting?
You know, again, you know, I defer back to what I said earlier. I think Mike handled it really well at the meeting, as well as anyone could have handled that. So Mike has the background and the history on these agreements as well. And, you know, personally, I'd feel more comfortable if Mike handled it going forward. I'd be happy to assist.
I've expressed what I think, so thank you.
I think what your expression at the last meeting, Hugh, we kind of concluded that I think there is legitimate concerns that you have, that we all have. I agree with you, but we also at that meeting kind of gave a game plan of being upfront, transparent, media blitz, the whole shot, and it was, you know, not setting Mike behind closed doors. It was the initial rollout to do exactly what we did. And And we also gave Mike a sense of a vote of confidence. Maybe it was unofficially a vote of confidence that yes, with his experience doing this over and over and over and over, that we kind of gave him that vote of confidence. With that being said, you know, you bring a third party in, whether it's Jim, whether it's Tim, whether it's Dean, whether it's myself, with somebody to just to temper it down, bring the flames down a little bit. Could be a good idea. I have no problem with that. But I agree with maybe our last meeting and with Tim's assessment that Mike has the most experience for sure. This is big time. We need to send our ace.
And to be frank, there was no tossing of mud or no personal attacks or any of that type of stuff with regards to it. But in negotiations, I mean, I'll be frank, you know, when somebody pushes hard at you, you know, sometimes you push hard back with regards to it in a respectful and appropriate manner with regards to it. And, you know, that's why I asked Tim to give you his assessment rather than me leading off on that, because apparently some of you don't feel that I'm capable of doing that. So.
You know, my concern was more that, not that there was mudslinging or anything, but that they were just throwing out a lot of muscle. So maybe that's just part of negotiating. But.
No, I thought the last session went fine. I thought, you know, Kevin and Russ made their strong points, and, you know, I tried to give strong points back too. And that's just the nature of negotiations. I don't see any problem with being firm and appropriate in your representations and respectful of the other parties as well too. So.
And when you and Tim walked away from that meeting, you did not have a feeling that they had dug their heels in or that we had dug our heels in?
Well, they came out firm in some of their positions with regards to, you know, they wanted 25 years and things of that nature. But I think there's ways to talk around or, you know, to talk them through those things and see if we can get them on to a different point.
You know, kind of to Hugh's point, you know, I agree with him. I think it's personal, you know, in many cases, and it's a relationship. It's not the way a relationship ought to be. I think it's, you know, I don't think you say apparently you don't think you have confidence. You know, I have confidence in you being able to negotiate, but there's a pattern that keeps repeating. And it seems like after we get through this, we got to do something to affect that cycle. Doing something together that's very positive where we can build relationships, change up the dynamic somehow. Otherwise, I think we set ourselves up for the next time that we have an idea or an issue comes forward on sewer and water you know, we've seen it now once or twice now, and somehow in the future, there ought to be a way to break that cycle and build relationships.
And to be frank and candid, I don't think that problem is on our end.
Well, that is exactly my point. That we're not seeing that we're not seeing both sides. I mean, I can appreciate what you're saying, but that's why that's just not an appropriate reaction to what Dean just said. I don't think. But I'm done expressing myself. Can we specifically go through on page A what it is that you're going to make part of the deal?
Sure. It'd be the 425 agreement, the term at 50 plus, four mills, end of status in the city, government control, meaning like planning commission reviews and things like that, the city. The driveway easement and the input on the tax abatements. And in addition to the input on the tax abatements, I'd also say that they'd be, you know, invited to any meetings we have with our planning commission on the matter.
Mike, on the mills to the township, in your discussions with the Gaylord city manager, is that a recommendation he had for the four? I mean, is there, if we were to just give something out of the chute here, what if we made it five? You know, that would address their concerns about the tax abatement and this and that. Is there something magical about four?
Four is what they asked for. That's higher than what most of the agreements that they've done in the way of in Gaylord. They don't generally give for a lot of their things. They haven't given a bonus to that. That was one area that we talked where we could sweeten the pot if we needed to later on down the road with some type of a potential increase there as it. But I don't see it advantageous for us to lead off with that at this point. I think meeting with their request on that is going to, I think they're going to see that as a big step forward for them and as a big win.
I would be okay with moving forward with what you just described.
Ron, you want to weigh in, Ron? You've been through this before.
Well, it seems to me that they might be surprised that we do offer four in a counter proposal, because it's a big chunk of change over the years, and I think they would have might have been happy with three. They just wanted to, you know, to see more revenue. So I like the proposal, presented it. And I think it's good that you have it ready for Monday's meeting for them. And I personally support you, and I think you're the best person. Mike is the best person to present it. I know we've got baggage with, you know, some of the situations we've dealt with over the years, but we've worked them out. Sometimes some have taken longer than others, but I'm good with the proposal, and I think we should move forward with it just as Mike has set it up, and hopefully things will work out okay.
I will let everybody know that I did think about offering something closer to three mills rather than the four, because that's about, I think their total overall millage is like 2.9 or 2.8 or 2.9. So that's real close to three. You know, if you went three, that's a little bit of a bonus for them, but not much. Personally, I mean, my thought process was that giving them something that they wanted, a clear win for them, would be helpful in framing the rest of the discussion as well too. Now on the backside, you've got Jim's comment earlier with regards to, you know, we're putting four on the table. It's hard to take it back off the table as well too. And sometimes, you know, if I have a fault at times, sometimes it's leading with a better offer than what I think might ultimately be our final offer or something close to it, rather than going through, you know, going back and forth five or six more times to get to that point. I'd rather cut to the chase and drive it down. The disadvantage of that is, as Jim mentioned, is, you know, they know you're willing to go to that point. So, but I had considered something less than four before, but I didn't think it, I just thought it didn't set the right tone for the whole negotiation. And that's a judgment call. I mean, there's no science to that.
Well, and just like the township, the city's not bound. If the proposal that you kind of come up with is unbearable to the city, you can change it too.
Yeah.
Still has to be approved by the commission.
Bingo, Jim. That's exact. I mean, and that's a point I use sometimes, you know, with various negotiations is, I'll offer something and then I'll say, I'll recommend it to the commission or I'll present it to the commission, but I can't, you know, until the commission signs off on something, you know, I don't have it. You know, nobody has a deal. I'm just the messenger.
Sally, you have any more comments?
Well, not really, except that we are talking about something where there's not one of us talking right now is going to be alive when the end comes. And I can't imagine that once the deal is done, it's going to be, you know, everybody in the township screaming about it for 50 years or anything like that. So if it seems like a good deal, then at least find out if it is.
Well, it just seems to me that, you know, the four mills right up front is a win-win in their, will be a win-win in their mind or in their thinking. You know, just based on the past, it's they probably were thinking, you know, past performance has been, we've had to go back two or three times on things. And as Mike says, cutting to the chase right to start with, I think it'll surprise them. I think that's the way to go.
That sounds reasonable.
So I guess Mike is looking for consensus.
We're not taking any votes. I'm hearing from the commissioners as you go around.
I know. I'll weigh back in. I'll go back to Dean's original statement. We have to make this work. I'll go with Ron's statement that Mike's our best man from experience and knowledge and personality and on. Yes, there is some contention there, Hugh, but I think it can work. I know it can work. With that being said, if Mike feels that Tim needs to be there to enhance his team or whatever, do so. I like the expediency process, which I mentioned before. Maybe Jervis Webb has to be there Monday night. To take the tone down, but to say this is a win-win for everybody. I like the points of negotiation, and I would support going forward with that as a framework.
Yeah, and Tom, my two cents, I probably would not recommend that I get involved because that's kind of lawyering it up.
Okay.
And then they're going to feel uncomfortable. They don't have their lawyer. And in addition, I'm just the scrivener of the business deals that you all come up with.
And you mentioned that last time.
You could give them six mills and it's no, you know, just a number to me. But you're the business makers and shakers. And so I don't think it would probably be value added, so to speak, to me be the face of anything.
I agree.
Jim, do they have to do all this in open session? I mean, this gets presented in open session and all the discussion will be done in open session?
Who was that question to, Hugh?
You or Jim, either or?
At the end of the day, both parties will have to approve this in open session. The group that they brought together that Tim and I met with, that wasn't an official township meeting. They only had two members of their five-member board there. So it wasn't a public meeting at that time.
Will it be Monday a public meeting, Mike?
That's their regular township board meeting, Hugh.
Okay.
What I'm thinking of doing is reaching out to Sue and saying, hey, I'm putting together a proposal and I'd like to get it to you prior to your meeting on Monday. You know, do you want to meet on it or do you want me, you know, and ask her how she would like me to present it or when.
Okay, thanks.
Sounds good to me.
And when presented, you know, it is going to be without approval of this commission. So Mike won't be presenting something that he can say he has the authority to bind the city. Because you have not approved it yet.
Yeah, that goes back to my earlier comment.
Yeah, we I think we know that. But I sure like the idea of presentation in front of their full board, with Metelsky there and Conrad there and
Well, with Jervis Webb there too.
And Jervis Webb there, I think it just, you know, again, back to this is a win-win for everybody. Let's do it.
Yeah, I don't think this is another. I don't think this one is a Jervis Webb meeting.
Probably not.
They're an ace in the hole that I'm going to keep until later. They haven't been involved in the details, and this would just confuse them, and if anything, make them more nervous. So I don't think this is the time to bring them in.
So, do we, as everybody spoke, do we have a consensus or is there any outstanding issues, commissioners?
I'm good. I think we talked about what we needed to talk about.
Good with it, too.
Same with me.
Okay.
Ditto.
All right. Is there anything else you need from us, Mike?
We would need to, at the end of this, we'll need to have a motion to close the closed session.
Correct.
And
correct.
Go back into open session and then adjourn.
Okay.
Unless the commission has something else before adjourning in open session.
So last chance here, commissioners, for Jim or Mike or Tim. Any further discussion? Okay.
Thanks, so, everybody. I appreciate the input.
At this point, I will make a motion to close the closed session.
Second it.
Caroline, do you have that?
Caroline, at 1:37, I will make a motion to close the closed session, seconded by Ron.
I had missed the second. Thank you very much.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Crunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Thank you. At this point, at 1:37, I will make a motion to go back to open session.
Second.
Second by Ron. Caroline. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Crunch.
Aye.
Okay. It is 1:38, and I will make a motion to close our open session. To adjourn. Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second by Ron. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Crunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Bye.
Let's see what we got to do here.